The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening and welcome to the National Intel Report. I'm your host, Steve Elkins, sitting in for John Stabmiller today. Vincent Finelli is going to be joining me. First, I'm going to start off saying the date is January 16th, 2020. Today was a very big day, a historic day. As you know, the articles of impeachment, two of them, from Nancy Pelosi, was sent over to the Senate today. Abuse of power. And what's the other one? Always abuse of power. And obstruction of the Congress. That's what it was. Well, that'll be trial will be starting on Tuesday. Justice John Roberts will preside over the Senate trial. Nonpartisan. Maybe not. But then again, maybe he will be. Let's not forget the decision change on Obamacare when Obama met with John Roberts. 1 hour later, changed his mind from being unconstitutional to being constitutional. So this might be very interesting next Tuesday. You want to stay tuned for that. Yeah, the prior day, Nancy Pelosi was swearing in her seven lieutenants, giving them the ceremonial pin to sign the impeachment document before it's being sent to the Senate. Ka-ching, ka-ching. I look for those pins to be on eBay here shortly. I'm not sure how much a ceremonial impeachment pin will go for. Be interesting. I think I know politicians pretty well. They can see a chance to make a buck here. They're going to be selling that pin for some big, big bucks. Be looking for eBay. Ceremonial impeachment pin. Be interesting. Predictions, the Senate will do nothing. They'll look at the Democrat narrative on the hearing they had. Actually, it was more of a trial. They'll find there was no crime or high crime or misdemeanor. Not guilty, dismissed. But the stain of impeachment will stay with Donald Trump. That's a fact. I didn't like Donald Trump from the beginning. I'm not a big fan of him, as you know. But that will stay. But he will be found not guilty, and he will most likely see another presidency in 2020. I can't see the Senate changing anything because it's pretty much Republican controlled anyway. But there's two jobs of the politician, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican. As we're talking about the Senate right now, it's Republican controlled. There's two jobs of the politician: to fool you into believing that he is working for you. Actually, he's working for the corporations. And his number two is to get back in office. These politicians, Republicans, will not go against their constituents, their congregation. They want to keep their jobs, ka-ching, ka-ching. They're going to come back in there, and there's no doubt about it. They are not going to flip on President Trump. Put this in some medical terms here. You know, there's many different types of cancer. Some cancers are really aggressive, very, very fast. Pancreatic cancer, bone cancer, liver cancer, mesothelioma, lung cancer. Some of them are very aggressive. The question is, what kind of cancer will be coming to us in 2020? Keep this all in mind. I'm going to be talking about this on my show on Sunday, Off the Beaten Path, Sunday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm locked and I'm loaded, and I got lots of information, lots of things to talk about come Sunday. But tonight is not a show about politics in general. I mean, a little bit, kind of, but not per se of what I've been talking about, the opening statement here. Vincent and I are going to be putting on a show today. We're going to be talking about inefficiencies. We're going to be talking about government wars on this and that, and the ineffectiveness of their wars. Very short-sighted. Let me explain a little bit what happened here. Last couple of days, I've been unloading my garage here. I'm trying to finalize everything, get everything out of the garage for my move. And purge, get rid of some stuff, send it over to Salvation Army or wherever. And I'm unpacking boxes, and I noticed styrofoam, whether it's hard styrofoam or peanuts. And I thought to myself, wasn't there a war back in the 70s, early 80s on styrofoam? Polluting the planet, it doesn't decompose, it just sticks around forever and ever. Then I recalled the week before, I'm doing some digging around my house, more landscaping, and what do I dig up? Styrofoam. Of course, when they built the home, they throw everything in the ground at the end and cover it up, and I'm finding styrofoam. Looks good. Perfect shape. Nothing wrong. House is 12 years old. Styrofoam. Didn't degrade. Didn't break down. Then it had me thinking about other things. When I moved from California, there was a war on the plastic bag. The single-use plastic bag. You see these Walmart still handing them out. California, you won't find them. They're done. They're history. And I thought to myself, is this the solution? You know, they say they cling and they get stuck in their trees and they're polluting everywhere, and we have to get rid of these. And so they came up with a solution. And their solution was to buy this big, giant, overly sized, huge, monstrous bag, a woven bag that's really pretty tough. And when it does get holes in it, it will at some point in time, what are you going to do with this? There's no place to recycle this thing. Where does it go? It goes in the trash. It goes to your landfill to sit there forever and ever before it actually breaks down, degrades. But I did realize that there is a solution to this problem, but they don't want to do that. And that would be make the plastic bags out of a corn-based derivative there, where it would break down from moisture and sunlight. So we actually could produce these bags, and they could just put them away, throw them in the trash if they get in the trash, and they would degrade very fast, break down. But that doesn't bring commerce. You see, creating this problem, this crisis they say exists, and then inventing the big, giant, overly sized bags is the solution. It brings a lot of money. So we're going to talk about inconsistencies in these government wars or local state wars on items. As you know, California is going after the plastic straw. I guess it's gone now. Vinny and I were talking about this today. I said, well, I don't believe in plastic straws really either. You can get paper ones, I guess. I actually have stainless steel straws at my house with a little pipe cleaner if you want to clean them. Stainless steel. I love them. But there's so many things that we have that we don't recycle. We are polluting the planet, no doubt about it, but there's solutions to the problem. And there's a big scam going on with recycling centers. I can tell you that right now, firsthand. I can tell you about that. We'll talk about that more. It's a major scam. There's some double dipping going on. But Vincent and I were talking about certain things that we use on a regular basis, and millions and millions and millions of these things are generating, and we just throw them in the trash. We don't think about it. There's so much we waste that we could recycle, and we don't, because there's not an incentive there yet. Europe is far ahead of us in recycling, has been that way for a long time. And I'm not sure, are we going to wait till we get to 90% capacity of our landfills before we finally say, hey, wake up, we've got to recycle. So, Vincent, I'm going to bring you on. Nice to have you here tonight. And I'm going to let you talk about a little thing then in the morning, your morning ritual, what you have in the morning, that you realize these things are just accumulating everywhere.
You're talking about coffee cups?
I would be talking about those little pods.
Yeah, we don't use those. We never have used those. And just the thought of it frosts me. I'll tell you why. In 2002, 18 years ago, Keurig sold 10,000 commercial brewing machines. In 2010, they sold 5 million consumer brewing machines. So what we're talking about is a coffee maker that uses a single K-cup. Put this K-cup in there, and it's preloaded with coffee, maybe a little bit of tea leaves, some cocoa, some nitrogen, and you get one cup. And in 2013, 10 million. In 2015, that's 5 years ago, 11 million. We're getting closer to now billions of K-cups are in the landfills, billions of them. Mm-hmm. And they are non-recyclable, and they are non-biodegradable because they contain different kinds of plastic and a layer of aluminum. So it's difficult, cumbersome, and not easily recycled. So I looked on the internet before the broadcast to find out, okay, so how can these be recycled? Well, you've used a manual can opener, haven't you, Steve? You turn the crank, right? And you open the lid of a can? Yeah. Okay. Well, they make one, and you can buy a two-pack of them. But these are designed just to cut apart the K-cups. So you can remove the bottom bowl, if you will, of the K-cup from the lid with the aluminum, and you can pop out the netting with the ingredients, the coffee grounds and the tea leaves and so forth. They're $5 a piece, two for $10. But who's going to do that? Who's going to take this cup that's got a moist bag inside and hold that in their hand while they cut it apart? Seems like a lot of effort when it'd be easier to just buy. And I went to the internet, went to eBay, and I'm looking at a Revereware copper bottom 2-4 cup stovetop coffee percolator. The price is $14.90. You can buy it now, $11.95 shipping, so roughly $27, and you can have something that would last another 50 years. Mm-hmm. It was probably made in the 60s or 70s. It's used. We have one, and that's a great way of making coffee. You can take the grounds, put them in the garden, compost them. That's what we do. And I did a quick calculation. Roughly a little over 50 cents, about 52, 53 cents to brew a K-cup of coffee into a coffee mug. So it's not a coffee cup that you're going to throw away, like a paper cup or a styrofoam cup. It would be a coffee mug that you would reuse. 53 cents each cup. Then I calculated how much we spend on coffee. Now, this is without, you know, milk or creamer or something like that. We buy, our son bought two cases of Hills Brothers coffee. $8 per can, 350 cups per can, 2.3 cents for the coffee, figure 7/10 of a cent for the electricity, 3 cents a cup. 3 cents a cup compared to 52 or 53 cents for a K-cup. So if you do it the way we do it, you have a machine that'll last 50 years probably, where I don't think the K-cup brewer is going to last 50 years. I don't believe that for a minute. And you don't have the pollution. All you have is the energy that's used to brew the coffee, whether it be electricity or propane or natural gas or a wood stove. So it frosts me that billions and billions and billions of these K-cups are thrown away. Actually, in 1 year, 20 billion. 20 billion K-cups. And an article I read said, 20 billion. That's enough if you put them end to end to end. That would circle the globe 12 times in 1 year.
Right.
That's enough to build your own mountain, right?
Yeah, I would think.
With K-cups.
Yeah, the K-cup. And that's just one item. I do want to mention real quick here, we are not going to take any calls in the first hour, second hour only. And new rules here. I'm going to be on my show also. We're going to have you call in. When you call in, you're going to stay on topic. Please stay on topic. Anything else, we'll just say, you know, next time, call me on my show on Sunday. We'll talk about it. But we are staying on topic today about what we're talking about, this recycling scam, the whole problem with this, these failed wars of recycling. And please stay on topic and also make some bullet points, write them down as if you were doing a presentation yourself. And please keep it to 3 minutes, and then we can respond and then maybe go back to you. But if we keep this all in this order here, actually the show will go very, very smooth and we'll all work out everything perfect. You know, this is the way it should be. There's a lot of talking. Sometimes people talk over you. That goes nowhere. I had a problem with that last week, and here I'm trying to talk and somebody's talking over me. I give ample time. I'll give you ample time. Vinny will give you ample time to talk, and then let us respond, and then you can talk back, but please don't talk over us. Appreciate that. All right. Going back to Vinny. Yeah, that's just one item, Vinny. And let me kind of recap and go back to the plastic bag issue. Vinny, get your comments on this. We've had a lot of news, bad news in the news about E. coli, our vegetation, lettuce, and everything else you can think of. Something has been tainted. It's got E. coli in it. I had a theory that a lot of it's coming from the field hands themselves because they are using the porta potties, not washing their hands, going back out to picking. But then again, I started thinking about these bags. The bag I told you about, the woven bag in California, which most of our vegetation, a lot of our vegetation is coming. Agriculture is coming from California. They grow everything there. So I started thinking about, we now have to purchase these woven bags, Vinny. And not everybody's hygienic, are they? I mean, they keep using the same thing over and over again. It's dirty inside. I look, I see it's dirty, I clean it, wipe it out, maybe sanitize it, but not everybody does that. So I started thinking about, so somebody walks into the grocery store, Walmart, wherever, Publix, and they got their big giant woven bag, and they're not very sanitary. Maybe they have a lot of animals in their house, and this maybe it's very filthy, maybe it's contaminated. And so they start picking up vegetables, and they put them in their bag. Actually, the funny part about it is that they got rid of the plastic bags, but they still have the roll of bags that you can tear off individually and put your vegetables in. But you put them in there, and a lot of people don't tie their bags, so they put their vegetables in this big giant woven bag, and it rolls around and comes out of its bag. It's contaminated now, and they finally realize, you know what? I don't think I really want these tomatoes and these onions, and I don't think I really want them. So they go back, and they put them back and mix them in with the tomatoes and everything else. Contaminated vegetables or fruit. And then we wonder why we have outbreaks of E. coli. You know, these failed wars, I wrote a blog on this many years ago when California first started this whole war on the plastic bag. I knew I found some solutions that they could make these bags out of a core material and they would just dissolve under the light, sunlight, or heat, or wetness, moisture. And so I knew it's possible, but I saw what was coming. Creating more commerce, and they would give you this big woven bag. Everybody has to buy a woven bag now in California. So, Vincent, this is just one thing. And I get irritated when these wars they've declared are so short-sighted on fixing the problems. I actually, Vincent, I walked around in the Walmart, and I thought, what else is in plastic that should maybe be in plastic? And you had potatoes, you had celery, you name every vegetable you could think of is a package of it in plastic. So there were concerned about one item of plastic, your plastic bag you take home your groceries in, but the remaining plastic, everything else, don't worry about it. It's going to go in the trash. You are making a small dent in the war you've just created. And that's a problem I have. And I don't, you know, politicians don't see it the same way. This is not rocket science, Vincent. You either have a war on something to eliminate it, make a significant impact on what you targeted, or you don't at all. So this little war they had in California, now it's a straw. Now, next year, what's it going to be? Think about that. We'll be right back. This is the National Intel Report. Steve Elkins and Vincent Finelli sitting in for John Stabmiller. We'll be right back.
We're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
You was just sweet as an apple on a tree. As sweet as an apple on a tree.
Back. This is the National Intel Report. Steve Elkins, Vince Finelli, sitting in for John Stadmiller today. And gotta love music. Get you in that fired up mood there, relaxed. Vincent, do you remember the war on the diaper? The disposable diaper. Do you remember that, Vincent?
Sure.
Where did it go? What happened there?
It didn't seem to work so well. It's inconvenient to use cotton diapers. And, you know, it's a real problem with landfills. Yeah, well, it's a real problem with landfills because they just don't decompose. They're good for forever. But I have a solution. I have a solution to fix it. Yeah, this is going to get us in trouble. But hypothetically, I mean, you could go to your lawmakers and you could say this is a problem, and they could say, yeah, we're going to have to look into that. We're going to have to investigate that. We're going to have to look into the possibility of investigating that. Or we'll have to get a committee together to look into the possibility of investigating that. But
you've got to have a task force. And then we look at the problem, and we have a lot of cocktails and whatever, and then we come up with something.
Well, then we have to study it.
Yeah, they might stop.
Well, and I'm not recommending this, okay? But if, hypothetically, if people started flushing pieces of these diapers down the toilet, they would clog up the city sewer system.
Yes, they would.
And the city sewer workers would be complaining because the sewers would be backing up because they would clog up the screens that only let particles smaller than the mesh of the screen flow through.
Right.
So, and it'd be a miserable job for whoever's working on cleaning out these screens because they're full of poop and everything else that gets flushed.
And
well,
tampons.
If enough, yeah. And if people did that, and I, again, I'm not recommending it, but that would get the attention of the city because normally cities are the organizations that those city corporations manage and own the sewer system and the sewer system. What'd you call it? The process. And they would not be able to do their job. The sewers would be backing up and there'd be an uproar. And then there would be a ban on non-reusable diapers, single-use diapers. Mm-hmm. That would do it.
Yeah, and probably do it.
It would. It absolutely would. But, you know, we're talking about these bags. We lived in Virginia over 15 years ago. Walmart, the Chinese factory outlet, used to have bluish-colored bags. And they were almost like a proprietary color blue. And you could recognize them from hundreds of feet away because of the color. Mm-hmm. Well, they were stuck in trees. They were stuck on barbed wire fences. They were blowing across the highways. They're everywhere. And I think Walmart decided that it would be better for Walmart if they changed their color of their bags so that it wasn't a proprietary color to the same color everyone else used. So you couldn't tell whether it was a Walmart bag or some other bag. So they switched to white. That's my take on that. Now, here's what it means to us as a farmer. We will see our cows out in the field chewing these single-use bags. Why? Because they think it's food. And they'll start chewing it and chewing it. Now, if they swallow them, it can kill them. Mm-hmm. And that really frosts me. People just throwing their bags out the windows, and there they go onto somebody's field. Sometimes it's our field, sometimes it's our neighbors, but plenty of farmers have to put up with these bags that just go flying through the air, and then they land. Gravity is 100% effective. It's 100%. It's up 100% of the time. It's always there, and it causes things to fall to Earth. But these bags aren't my biggest problem. The thing that absolutely drives me crazy is the Mylar bags that we buy they buy for children, like two-year-olds. And they hand them this ribbon with a helium-inflated Mylar balloon.
Yeah. Right.
And
right.
Up they go. Oh, there it goes. Gee, yep. We lost it. Now, it will soar until the inside pressure of the helium is greater than the Mylar balloon can sustain. And the balloon pops and the falls down with the ribbon to Earth. And sometimes they fall on our fields, and our cows think they're food just like they think Walmart plastic bags are food. Now, they have a ribbon attached, and it'll kill a cow. And I've got to ask, why is it so important to have those silly, stupid, idiotic, happy birthday balloons? Why? Why?
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I never thought about that. I always heard about birds and stuff, but I never thought about the landing in the field and the cows eating it. Never thought about that.
Okay. Well, since you mentioned birds, but we need to talk about
hold that
birds.
Thought, Vinny. We'll be right back. Short commercial break. This is the National Intel Report.
Yes, I feel like a lowdown.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey, honey, I'm home.
I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You gotta get out of here. Well, I got a little brother. He's several meters high. Yeah, he's built just like a quarterback. He swears he'll testify. He says he's been to Texas. It's a phony place to be. Big stakes because no trouble. Yeah, that's the place for me. I'm going to Texas.
And we are back. Yeah, send that one out to John Stadmiller. That's his favorite song from Chris Rea. Vinny, what?
Birds. You mentioned birds.
Birds. Right? Yeah, yeah. The birds eating the plastic balloons. I knew that. Yeah, I never thought about the cows and other animals, farm animals that might ingest this.
So you
never thought about that.
You and I were traveling one day, and there were a few of us in the car. And in the ashtray, some people put weird things in ashtrays like ashes. I put tokens, you know, for the shopping cart, the 25-cent token for Aldi, because you have to pay to rent the cart for a little bit or borrow it. And I had a pack of gum in there. And we had someone else in the vehicle, and he saw this gum. And he took a piece out, started chewing it for a while. And when he was done with it, the electric window went down and out went the gum. And
I know
slowed
that
down,
guy.
I looked at him.
I know that guy. Won't tell you who he is, but I know that guy.
I was hoping you weren't going to say that.
Yeah, I just remembered.
This might be my last broadcast. So I looked at him. I said, "What are you doing?" And he looked at me like, "What's the problem?" And I said, "Well, the problem is that when a bird sees that, the bird will think it's food and eat it and die." Oh. So you remember that lesson?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I do remember now.
This is our last broadcast for both of us tonight.
So you drove back and made him. You drove back and made him pick up the gum, right?
Well,
if you could find
it. We were going like 55. It was going to be pretty hard to find, and it was at night. It was absolutely.
Do you think that person learned something? Do you think he learned
absolutely.
Something?
Absolutely. Okay. And the reason that's I told point. That story is not to get us fired, but he had no idea, and then. Then you know the light bulb went off, and he said, "Yeah, yeah." So the whole point of that is, people do this all the time, but don't do it.
Yeah, I agree.
That was the.
I think this person also, as a kid, probably used to put his gum under the desk. What do you think?
Yeah, Benny? Probably. Probably, yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Save it for tomorrow.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that. So the war on the diaper, the diapers, the disposable diapers, that war just ended. It just quit, and we continue to fill the landfills up. And like I said, I have a problem with these wars. They give up. I mean, there's solutions to nearly every problem. What's that?
Why don't we get gross? Why don't we get gross?
You want to give your solution to that one? Go for it.
Well, not quite a solution, but I thought we ought to get gross and let people know what's really happening. So,
okay.
in the countryside, probably where you are as well, you have a septic system, right? A septic tank?
I do. I have a septic system. Correct. Okay.
And you have visitors come to your house, right?
Yeah, I do.
And you bought a house that was previously owned by another family, and they lived in it, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, that's pretty typical, right? Buying a house and someone else lived in it, they move out. And they don't take the septic system with them. It stays there. So at some point, you might have some visitors, and you might have your septic tank pumped out, and the guy will come with a tanker truck and a pump, and he'll stick the hose in there and pump out all but maybe 2 inches of the solids tank. And now what do they do with that? Well, some farmers like to have that human waste spread on their farms. So what he's done, the guy with the tank... Mm-hmm. The pump tank will arrange to deliver that to someone, and they'll spread it on a farmer's field. And when they do that, there are all kinds of brownish, white colored things with strings on them in the field now.
Yeah.
And they were flushed down the toilet. Now, the toilet paper breaks down pretty well. The human waste breaks down pretty well. If you have a garbage disposal, those chunks of tomatoes and tomato peels and, you know, cucumber peels, they break down pretty well. But those tampons, they're there forever. So the next thing that happens is the cows say, what's this? It's worse than a bird chewing gum.
Yeah. Now, Vincent, I didn't know they actually spread human waste on fields. I thought they could not do that.
Well, in some states, they absolutely
what kind of purpose, what benefit would that be to spray human waste on a farmer's field? I would thought that human fecal matter is not going to be fertilizer for any field at all. That's new to me.
It actually is. And the corrupt state of Missouri allows that. And as a matter of fact, the preferred method of disposing of toilet and sink waste, you know, typically we go into a septic system in most places. Right. The preferred method in the corrupt state of Missouri is to use a lagoon. And a lagoon is nothing more than digging out a little pond and putting a fence around it and having the raw sewage from the sinks and the toilets go right into this open pit, which would look like a small pond with a fence around it. Mm-hmm. And the idea behind it is that the sunlight will disinfect that lagoon. And they've used them for schools. There's plenty of schools in Missouri that have these open lagoons. And they're fenced in so the children don't go swimming in them. But literally, that's what That's what they do. And it works fine. It really does. And you don't smell it at all. It's not like you've visited a landfill or a sewage treatment plant. It really works well. It does. So I don't have a problem with that, as long as they're fenced in, as long as they're, you know, not next to a well, that kind of thing. That'd be terrible, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
But human waste is spread. And in the Commonwealth of Virginia, we had a neighbor who got treated sewage. So this would be hospital waste, industrial waste, mm-hmm. paint, right. You know, people washing out their paintbrushes, baby parts, anything that went down the drain, and human sewage, all mixed together. You know, from, let's say, Richmond, Virginia, they treat it with chlorine, they bake it in the sun, they evaporate the liquids, and then they have solids. Or they don't evaporate the liquids, and they just let the chlorine volatilize. Then they put it in a tanker truck, and then they bring it and spread it on fields that grow grass for cows. Now, the downside of that is it smells for a couple of years. And if you have a neighbor, they'll hate you forever. And it was so bad.
Go ahead.
It was so bad in the Commonwealth of Virginia when we lived there. It wasn't done in our little village. But the newspaper decided they had it with this awful smell. And they published the names of the people who did it. And the people who did it were embarrassed and angry that they were caught trashing the environment and the air of their neighbors. Uh-huh. Absolutely true.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Don't the hog farmers have to actually do that also? They put like a big hole and they put a liner in, and all the fecal material will actually go off to the liner.
Yeah,
and they have to wait for a while. Isn't that correct? Isn't that what they do?
Yeah. They have lagoons for hog farms as well. And every once in a while, you'll hear of torrential rains and the lagoon burst. So downhill it goes.
Not good.
No.
Not good at all. Let's talk about.
Want to talk about landfill? I've got a story.
We can do that. Yeah, we can. I mean, let's do that. Let's talk about that.
Okay, I've never told you this story. Steve Elkins and I.
No, I told you to hold off today. I wanted to make sure everybody got it, so I got it fresh.
Okay, you ready?
A fresh landfill. Go for it.
You know, back in the Commonwealth of Virginia. We got news that there was going to be a landfill, about 1,400 acres, and it was going to be on the intersection of two highways. One highway is a really big highway. It's two lanes, grassy median, real wide median, and then two other lanes. And then there was a railroad track there, and then there was another highway. So at the intersection of all this was about 1,400 acres, and it was going to be a dump. And we heard about this, and we said, no. Well, what happened was the county fathers, if you will, the movers and shakers decided, the alleged representatives were in on this, and they said, yeah, we need this landfill. In the Commonwealth of Virginia, trash is considered interstate commerce. So if there's a landfill, they can accept trash from all the contiguous states, and they could bring it in by rail and by trucks. And we calculated out that it was going to be one truck going or coming every 2 minutes. I'm talking about a trash truck, not a little pickup truck. And they were going to fill this whole 1,400 acres within 7 years. They're going to make a mountain, and it would be completed in 7 years. And we heard about it, and we wanted to stop it. Because we thought, all right, if the county is so dumb as to accept this, they at least need to vote on it and know all the facts. But they were prevented from learning the facts. Well, I became the point man for this. This was way before radio, and I became the point man. And we had meetings like, what are we going to do? Well, we can have letters to the editor. We can take a full-page ad out in the local rag, the county rag. We can go on the radio and talk about this on, you know, AM 1340, the local station. And we can have a petition, and we can ask the guys who are going to do this to us if they would mind not doing this to us. And it became really, really dangerous. As a matter of fact, when I went on stage, it was standing room only in some of the meetings we had, they had the police, the county sheriff, in riot gear. Literally, I've never seen him in riot gear before because they said I was going to incite a riot. And shots were fired toward our house. It was really dangerous. And eventually we stopped it. But it was the number two landfill company, the number two trash company in the United States, Allied Waste. And we called our team, trying to stop the landfill, the dump, called the local radio station, said, we got a guy, and he'll come on the air. And I had never really spoken on the radio. I did it once before, but it was many years before. And so I went on the air, and I was in the lobby to go on in the morning. And this other young guy was there, and I said, hey, how's it going? And he said, hi, Mr. Finelli. He knew who I was. And I said, so who are you? He said, well, I'm the representative from Allied Waste. So they let me go on the air for half an hour, and then they put him on the air. And he said things like, well, you know, Mr. Finelli probably means well, you know, but he doesn't realize that we're going to give the county a canine dog to keep everybody safe. And we're going to put a baseball field on top of the landfill when it's completed. And we're going to do all this. And he doesn't know that. So they made it out to be that I was a fool. But what they didn't say was that when they turn on the lights on these ball fields that have the methane gas pipes coming out of them, The methane gas lights on fire. And there's so many pigeons and birds that fly over because of the smell that you get pooped on from overhead while you're trying to watch the ball game. Wow. Those are the facts. Ultimately, we stopped it. But it was really dangerous. It was really tense. And there were only two counties in the Commonwealth of Virginia that ever pulled that off, meaning stopping one of these. And when we started, everybody was with me. Yeah, we're behind you. We're at 110%, Steve. They're behind me 110%, whatever that means. It's mathematically impossible, right? But they were.
We talked about
it. And then when it was all done, we won. No landfill, no dump. Allied Waste built it a few counties over. And I was the only guy standing. All those guys that were behind me, I would have needed a telescope to have seen them. They were so far behind me. And actually, there weren't anybody. It's just me. And that's what happens. Literally, that's what happens. And when we left Virginia, I was so angry that everybody abandoned me. Everybody let me stand all by myself against the county government, against the police, against everybody. Just they let me stand alone. And that's why I behave the way I do. And that's why I carry a gun, because shots were fired at our house. And ever since that time, I have carried a gun. And when I was on my tractor, I'd have an AK-47 with me. No kidding. If I drove through town, I had an AK-47 with me. No kidding. As well as a sidearm. No kidding. So when I say cocked and locked, I'm not kidding. Now you all know why I carry a gun. Because shots were fired at us. We didn't start it. They did. So that's the story, Steve.
That's an interesting story. You know, I don't know. I guess, like Y2K, they wait till it comes closer and closer, then they start to worry and start to panic and try to figure out solutions. I just wonder, what is the tipping point for the environmentalists to step up to the plate? When are politicians going to say, hey, you know what, we're going to wait till our landfills are have 10% capacity left, and then we're going to start to worry where we're going to put all this trash? I lived in Utah. We had it was a big problem there, and the citizens had nothing to do with this. We had no vote on this, no agreement, nothing. When we found out later on that New York was actually shipping their trash to Utah, it was terrible how much trash they were accepting. Of course, some politician cut the deal and somebody was making some money on this, but at what cost? And putting it in the ground, and it leaks in the ground and gets into the water system, and then you wonder why we have more cancer here in Salt Lake City, as a side of having all that nuclear fallout from the testing in Nevada that floated over and got a lot of people ill and sick and died. But there's a big business of selling your trash off to other states. And it could only happen through local government and politicians agreeing and cutting the deal, because I've never seen that thrown our way as a citizen to say, hey, are you okay with this? And we can use the money for this and this. It's never been that situation, that possibility. But I wonder about, Vincent, you probably haven't heard about it in a while, and I haven't heard about it, but I did hear about a couple young guys who had found a solution, at least they say they have a solution, to this floating island of trash out in the Pacific Ocean. It's supposed to be the size of Texas now. And I always thought, if there's money to be made in recycling, wouldn't a plastic floating island the size of Texas, wouldn't that be worth a gold mine? I would think it would be. Think about that. I'll get your comment when we come back after this commercial break. This is the National Intel Report.
Use the money on adult entertainment.
And all the roads jam up with credit, and there's nothing you can do.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Sorrow covers you up like a cave. Yesterday, I know that you were pretty, but disaster somehow managed to escape. Well, I can't provide for you no easy answer.
And we are back. This is the National Report. Steve Elkins and Vincent Finelli sitting in for John Stadmiller. I'm going to share this little story with you, Vincent. We were talking about a couple days ago about 100%, 110%. And I have a funny story to share. My wife came home today, and she said I had my individual performance review today, and I had to fill it out. And we were talking about the 110% actually on her thing, what's your rating of how much performance, what's your performance? And it actually goes to 110%. And Vince and I were laughing because there's no possible way to go over 100% for effort. You can use 110% when you kind of talk about financials, your stock portfolio, and other things. But for effort, you go 100%. That's the best you can do. And I said, what is your little thing there say? And she said, it actually went up to 110. And I said, what did you check? And she said, I crossed it out. I put 112. So her effort was 112% and 110%. But we have this little thing talking about you can't go beyond 100%. So I have a new theory here, and Vincent liked my theory, that when somebody says I gave 110%, anything over 100%, you simply deduct from 100. So if somebody says 110%, I take 10 off from the 100. You give me 90% effort. And when it comes down to raise time, a normal raise for inflation would be 3 or 4%. I'm giving you 1% because you only gave me 90%. That's the new rule I've come up with. Along with your increasing my intolerance, I'm not going to accept 110%. You either give me 100% or you're honest enough to tell me I didn't quite give 100, but I'm tired of this nonsense of 110%.
Yeah. I've got a great story, and this is a way to stop politicians who try to pull something like a landfill.
Okay.
It's the only thing I've ever found that works, but it'll probably take about 3 minutes to explain this. But this works. I believe this will work for everything. If you have some ordinance that's up for the politicians to sign off on, if you have a little bit of time, you can stop it. And if you want, I'll tell you the story on how to do it. I know this works. I was there. What do you want to do?
Yeah. Okay. We got break coming up for second hour, but go ahead. We'll start into it.
Okay. It'll cost $280, 280.00. And this is what we did in the Commonwealth of Virginia. We tried everything to stop these buzzards from permitting this landfill. Couldn't do it. We had county meetings. We had stories in the newspaper. We went on the radio. Everything we did, nothing worked. And we couldn't figure out why. It was like the government, the county government, was against the people. Why? Because we believe they were paid off. They had already gotten their bribes, we believe. So here's what a few people did. And I won't say who they were. They took printer paper, 8.5 by 11, white paper, notebook paper with lines on, all kinds of different paper. And the paper cost about 1 cent per sheet. And I'll tell you the rest when we come back.
That was a good notice. Second hour coming up. This is the National Intel Report.
We need leaders to lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and take all our money and send it abroad. We must take America back. We need prayer and school. We must take America back.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.